The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. We have two fantastic guests that we're going to talk to in a minute. The lovely ladies, Linda and Elle from We Do Social Media. We've got loads of tweets still coming in, and we've got loads of information to impart. So I'm just going to read you a quick tweet with the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. You're having another great show with a great lineup of guests, something to brighten this wet Tuesday afternoon. So thank you. Do give them a follow. Chips and Dinks, they're brilliant recyclers, upcyclers, and fixers of all scratches, dents, dings, and winks, and all kinds of other little accidental poos.
Radiator covers, which is
It's fantastic, isn't it? Follow them on Twitter. Chips and Dinks is their Twitter handle.
Does what it says.
What you got, Jules?
Well, I'm still looking at Collector's Buddy, who is Collector's Buddy on the Twitter at Buddy_Museum. Give him a follow. And he says, did the weather just say scattered showers? Is actually tipping it down here, only moaning as I've been told I'm doing the school run today.
Yeah.
And I have commented that I'm only in a cardigan.
Absolutely.
I'll have to hoof it to the car.
The lovely Gemma Oliver, Gemma, your VPA is her Twitter handle. Talking about rain, she sent us a little photograph of Kermit the Frog looking through a rainy window.
Oh.
Yeah. And she says this is her thought for the day. Yeah. You should never lead someone down the garden path. My advice is that honesty is always the best policy. When looking for a virtual assistant, I believe it's all about finding the one you like, that you trust, and who has a personality that will fit in with your business. Absolutely right. Give Gemma a follow on the Twitter, please.
Do, yes. I've got only one email left, but it's very, very long. So I'm not
Don't read that at the moment, because we're going to talk to Linda and Elle very shortly. You can read a tweet if you've got any.
Well, I've got DG East again, who's hopping up. He was just commenting, so you can find them on DG East 1. They're an independent contract hire, as Paul Andrews said earlier, and they lease providing cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. So I was commenting on his lovely green BMW.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It turned out to be a Mini, because I had a look.
I said it was a Mini.
You did.
Now, that's the second time I've been right in about an hour.
Yeah, but you shouldn't confuse the tweets you're reading.
What do you mean?
Well, he tweeted that he just supplied a BMW, and you said there's a lovely picture of it. What is it? So I said, well, it must be a BMW.
Well, that green.
But when I looked, it's a Mini. It's not remotely.
Exactly, that's what I thought. I said it's like a Mini with a lovely long bonnet.
Yeah, it's a Mini.
You confused me.
Yeah, well, why not read the tweet that you put along with the picture? That makes it easier.
Well, what colour was the BMW?
He didn't say.
Ah, well, that's probably why.
And there was no picture of it.
Why? Do you know, we're just snitching at each other today.
Yeah,
it's quite sad, isn't it? Yeah, I think you got out of bed the wrong side today.
Not just today.
Terry Thorpe, you probably tumble out, don't you? Terry Thorpe retweeted something about the shout out creators of customer delight, but I think that is also from DGE's. DGE's is on my timeline a lot. So, and Terry Thorpe, of course. Collector's Buddy, I've done him. Kevin Edmonds. Now, I don't know what he does. Do you know Kevin Edmonds? He's popped up.
Handyman.
He says he's... I wish he... Is he? He says, no, it's Real Print Media. Hardworking and always striving to please, working for Real Print and Media. So hello, Kevin, if you're listening. And you can find him on realprintandmedia.com. Handyman, I would love. Can you find a handyman? No.
He is a handyman.
As well? Oh, as well as printing. So you do both. Where does he live?
Maidstone, I think.
It's a bit far for me. He wouldn't come all the way to my house, would he?
Oh.
No, too far.
Oh, you never know. You never know.
And M Farmers Market are moaning, Paul Andrews.
No.
They are. They don't often moan, you know. They're normally very cheerful. So they say, appalling, absolutely appalling service given by Vodafone UK. Does anyone have contact details for Ofcom? I would agree. I've had terrible things with the old Vodafone in the past.
Just very quickly, the problem is that all these big organisations are totally reliant on technology these days, and when the technology goes wrong, there's no humans to put it right, and it just becomes a total nonsense. And I've wasted a month trying to deal with organisations whose technology has gone wrong, but they can't put it right because they don't know how it works. Yeah. And it's just crazy stuff.
I think speak properly to a proper person, it can be very frustrating.
I'm going to do a whole Business Bunker show shortly about the failings, and I'm going to name names, the failings of massive companies that send out nonsense. And the thing that drives you bonkers are people that send you things with no reply emails going, well, could you just tell us? So I said, no, because you sent me a no reply email. Yeah. So how the hell am I supposed to tell you?
Yeah. Well, my GP does that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, talking of who you can't talk to.
Yeah, it's bonkers. And these people just don't pay any attention. And you've got me wound up now.
It's not difficult, really, to wind you up. But I agree. And in fact, I bought a shark hoover yesterday. And
blimey.
As you do. And I was doing it on my phone. I do everything on my phone. And I did the whole thing, put my credit card in, and it just wouldn't ping off. So I rang them, and the guy was really good. But whether the line was bad, he just couldn't understand anything I was saying. And, you know, I'm saying my postcode, Charlie Tango, you know, blah de blah. And I had to repeat everything. It was exhausting. And this was going to be a 10-minute job. It took me, you know, 3/4 of an hour. It was most frustrating.
I have to tell you that everybody keeps telling me that artificial intelligence is going to be the saviour of the human race. Oh. It certainly is not.
No.
Because we can't even work out basic technology at the moment because there are just stupid things. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm going to brighten my day.
Yeah,
ladies. And relax and feel so much better because we're going to talk to Elle and Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media. Ladies, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's lovely to have you in the studio. The last time you were on, we were via Zoom, so it's good to see you in all your glory, the pair of you looking beautiful and relaxed and lovely. So why don't we kick off by you telling us, just to remind the listeners, a bit about We Do Social Media.
Okay, I'll go then, shall I, Elle Bell?
Go for it.
So we've been going for 8 years.
Wow.
Launched the business because a young apprentice was doing social media for me because I didn't understand it. And basically she said, can I help her set up in business? I love business, so I said, yes, of course I will. So help her set up her business, became a 50% shareholder. Then she went and got a job. And I was left holding the baby,
right,
as it were.
Right.
So I had 5 clients, so I had to learn pretty quickly. Went home and begged Elle to join the business. She said, no, I don't want to work with my mother. took a bit of persuasion, but in the end she agreed to come for a very short period of time to help me. Mm. And she totally transformed the business. So where we started out just to do what we say on the tin, we do social media to help people post on social media, we ended up becoming a training company, CPD accredited, and Elle wrote all those courses. And then she left for a little while and worked
in something you said
worked in the world of quite a few things I said probably. But it did her good to go out and work in the real world, as it were. And she's come back and she's totally changing the company again.
That's typical kids.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, this is brilliant. This is brilliant, and we love it. And 8 years is a massive achievement to be in business,
especially
a fast-moving business like digital media.
Mm.
And as you say, you're much more than a social media company, social media management company. And without being funny, they're to a penny. Everybody in the world says they can do social media. What they actually mean is that they just know how to tweet, basically.
Yes.
And you're so much more than that. And as you said, you're basically a training company.
Yes.
So let's talk about, and I don't know which way round you want to do this, because I know kind of one's leading to the other, but you have this idea for We Do Social Media Gyms, yeah? But you started off with We Do Social Media Workouts, which have been really successful. So why don't you tell us about Social Media Workouts, Elle, and then we'll move on to Social Media Gym.
Okay, so I'll do a bit of a backwards story.
Yeah.
We had the plan to set up the social media gym, which is an all-in-all training hub.
Yeah.
Completely different to anyone out there because it shows strategies opposed to this is how you post a tweet. Instead, it's here's a strategy to what to do with your tweet.
Yeah.
But coronavirus hit. Business needed to adapt, and we wanted to help the small business community that had to go online and didn't know where to start. So we had to break it down, and we broke it down by starting the social media workouts
right
before starting the gym, which is pretty much an online community where we go in and we network every other week. And we share each other's posts into a group. So rather than a 60 seconds, as you would in a normal networking event, you have it on your normal, on your social media instead. And we make sure people are engaging with each other, liking each other's posts. And then at the minute, we're starting to adapt it. So we was having 10-minute trainings every other week, or every week. But now we've just sent out a survey to everyone to adapt it again. So we're constantly trying to find value for our customers.
Sure.
We're not sure how we're going to do that this time. We're still waiting for all the feedback. Mm. But topics of the week seems to be one. Post feedbacks, which we do anyway,
yeah.
But in a more formal structure.
Mm.
But from there, we are now starting to get ready for the social media gym.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. I love what you're doing with this, because what you do, you know, so many people that start out, you know, if we just talk Twitter for the moment, because that's what I'm most familiar with, but this kind of counts across most of the platforms. But so many people start out with their Twitter journey or their social media journey, and they go, right, I'm here. I've got an account. I've got no followers. I don't really follow anyone, but I followed a couple of famous people because that's all I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tweeted hello. Yeah. Now, what do I do? Well, one of the things I love about we do workouts is that you actually start to read each other's posts and comment on each other's posts. And that, as we know, is what it takes to get you kind of launched in the world of social media and get people following you and get hashtags organized and all that kind of stuff. So I really love that approach to it, because you're not just telling people, well, you know, tweet a picture of you, you know, your dinner, or, you know, tweet a picture of what it is you do. You're actually building relationships right from day one. And that's the crucial thing with social media, isn't it? Because it's about building relationships. It isn't about numbers of followers or anything. It's about talking to people, and talking to people that are in a cluster of things that are relevant to you as a business or an individual.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, what the social media workouts do is basically they're teaching people how to engage with their target market.
Mm.
So a lot of people will go onto any of the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and they just put a post out, and then they say, well, why isn't it working for me?
Mm.
And the reason, obviously, well, maybe obviously to me, is that it's not working for them is because they're not going in and engaging with anyone else's content. So how can they expect them to go in and engage back?
Yeah.
No one's got any reason to read it. Mm. So what Elle's been doing in the workout is helping them with their content, and I think we'll be doing more of that, different content ideas and that maybe going forward. And she's just really made this community where you read fully someone's post.
Yeah.
So, and then you've, once you've read it, you've got to reply to it. So Elle and I have been networking for the whole 8 years, going into a room, early morning networks, and you know that as much as you want everyone to be listening, everyone doesn't listen to your 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You want them to, but you can see that they're not. You know, yeah, their head's down sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, whereas with the social media workouts, you know they've read because they've made a comment.
Mm.
So some of the comments are less informative than others.
Yeah. You do find that as well. I with the Business Monker Radio, we have a whole blog website. We've got over 2,000 blogs on business topics, basically, and I blog out a dozen of them a day, every day, and they get lots of interaction, but still so many people don't read them. They come along, they look at the headline, they go, oh, that's not right, and you go, we haven't read it, have you? And they go, well, yeah. And you go, no, you haven't. I can tell you haven't, because you wouldn't have said what you said if you'd have read it.
Yeah.
And you also get the people that don't realise that it's a clickable link as well. So what I love about what you're doing is you're encouraging people to take the time to think about what they're doing, build a relationship, look and comment on things, because that's all it takes.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to get involved with the rest of Twitter or the rest of Facebook. You just have to look at what you're looking at and take it seriously and read it and comment on it if it's the right thing for you.
Yeah. The thing that makes us so different is because we've we've had the conversation with people in the past, well, are you just like an engagement pod?
Yeah.
And we really had to think about that at the beginning. But over time, we realised how much we are not, because it's our local community. That's who we aim to help.
Yeah.
Kent businesses.
Yeah.
We've had the odd one from Birmingham and that, but they realise, oh, hang on, this isn't my market.
This isn't for us.
Scooted off.
Yeah.
So it's helping not only our community and they're meeting one another, but it's showing them an activity they can take outside of what they're doing in that moment to use for their business and to get more business. It's also keeping them accountable every week, which a lot of people are really fond of doing.
I love this and I love what you're doing, because I'm absolutely obsessed with community. So I'm going to have a little bit of a rant. You don't have to comment on this, but it drives me bonkers, which is, you know, we were just talking about big corporations getting it wrong. They get it wrong for the same reason that all these other things go wrong. Everybody tries to manage everything from the top down. Yeah. So they impose a set of rules on the top and let it filter down until it doesn't work at the bottom. Yeah. For me, I believe in bottom up. Yeah. It's about the community. It's about the community engaging and doing what they do and then building from there. We were talking about an organisation the other day that run a series of restaurants, okay? Lovely restaurants, fantastic restaurants, but they're starting to lose the plot. And they're starting to lose the plot because they're trying to manage it all from the central location. And you can't do that. The local manager knows his customers or her customers, yeah? And they were getting people turning up for meals that I hadn't booked.
Oh.
And they were fitting them in, you know, within all the social distancing rules and all the rest of it. And then they go back to head office and go, we need more staff. And they go, no, you can't possibly need more staff. We looked, you only had 20 bookings. And they went, yeah, but 30 people turned up unannounced and we gave them food. We need more staff. No, you can't possibly. So it's about letting people do things, you know, knowing their market. And I totally and utterly agree with you 100% about building communities, physical communities, you know, because social media is great. It's a good platform, but it's about getting to know your customers. It's about getting to know your target markets. Okay, so you've got social media workouts. See, I love what you're doing. You say it's a workouts, and you know, I've got a sweat going on already just talking about it. So, you know, I've burnt off a couple of hundred calories just talking to you ladies, which is brilliant. Yeah, so it means I can have another biscuit. But tell me, you know, and I know it's a huge thing that you're building, the social media gyms. So it's taking time, obviously, because you want to do it right, and I get that as well. And the start point is the workouts. How do you see the gyms when it's ready and when you're ready to launch? Give us an overview of what it is you're aiming towards.
So opposed to there are so many different aspects. Community level is obviously going to be a very important one. There'll be accountability groups.
Yeah.
So people have a group they belong to.
Right.
And there'll be regular challenges that they'll be accountable to the other members in their group.
Right.
Much like the fitness group. I mean, I'm accountable to my fellow team members to win the challenge, which we did.
Oh, yes.
Had to get that in there. but aside from that, there'll be a modular training. But opposed to you see on online trainings, it's how to post a tweet and how to retweet. Instead, it's the strategies behind the platform.
Yeah.
So it might be, do you want more community engagement? Here's how to do that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Strategy one, strategy two, strategy three.
Yeah.
Do you want more brand exposure on Twitter? Here's how to do that with this. Strategy one, strategy two, strategy three. And we'll show the tools and the features beforehand so people have an understanding of the platform without having to know the dumb basics.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can get to the nitty-gritty. A lot of people show how to do something but not how to actually utilise the individual things.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that, because I think that's the crucial thing. You're right, there's two parts to this, isn't there? There's the technicality of how do you do something? How do you register for an account? How do you use an account? How do you retweet or share or, you know, do things on Facebook? There's all of that technical blurby stuff and nonsense, and we need to learn that. But But outside of that, it's why you're doing this in the first place, yeah? Mm. And there can be a number of threads and streams here, can't there? Yeah, because you could be doing brand awareness. You could be doing customer capture. You could be building your profile, yeah? Becoming what they call an influencer, yeah? So there's a number of different reasons why you might be doing it. And the way you do things will be different depending on what those reasons are, yeah? Which is what you're saying to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So basically what you're doing with the gym is getting people to understand their strategies.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you want? Yeah. Here's how you get it.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, they've got to do it, obviously, but here's how they can move forward.
Yeah. But it's making them think through why they're doing what they're doing. Yeah. So rather than blindly just blustering out there and putting a post on Facebook, they're going, well, who are you aiming this at? Why are you doing this? And what do you expect as a response to this? Yeah.
I think so many businesses, and I was one of them, you know, 15 years ago or 12 years ago, whenever it was, I started doing it for my other business. You know, I just thought I had to be on there. Mm. I didn't think about why I had to. What I wanted, which is what a lot of people want, was I wanted more people. You know, I was running a dating agency. It was like, I've just matched up two people. I need another two. I need another man, another woman to replace them. Mm. That was my strategy, which is no strategy. Mm. It was just like, okay, this is what I want. And people have told me I can get it from social media, but no one showed me how to get it from social media. No one went through, well, this is, if you plan it this way, then this is what you'll be able to achieve.
Yeah.
It was just literally showing me how to post. Mm. I mean, even down to the imagery, you know, to be honest, you look at Canva, a lot of people look at Canva and they think, so that's canva.com, where what we use to do our images. I remember first looking at that and thinking, or what do I do here?
Yeah,
and then someone will say, well, learn how to make a video. And I'm looking at Loom and I'm looking at all these different... I'm thinking, which one I'm meant to use? And on top of that, you've got to learn how to use the actual platforms as well.
Yeah.
So I suppose different to how I can relate to the way some of these people are feeling, because most people go on social media and say, well, where are all the leads?
Yeah.
Why haven't I got leads, you know?
Yeah.
And they maybe are paying someone, you know, a couple of £100 a month, and they want those leads coming in straight away.
Yeah.
So it's getting the businesses, I suppose, to understand. And it's been a long journey for me. And I've been in the business 8 years. So for somebody who isn't in the business, it's even, I think, more difficult to understand.
Absolutely. And also you can get deflected, can't you? I mean, I with my social media output, I have a very definite goal, which is around the radio station and getting people to listen to the radio station. And to do that, I need you to go to my website and look at the radio station website. And I've got two methods of doing that. I've got information, which are blogs, which take you there, or I've got on the day of the show, why don't you listen to the radio, of course. And then a lot of people come up to me and they go, video's the thing. But it isn't. It is, a video is totally useless to me because it's not providing a link that's clickable to where I want to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, so video is brilliant in the right context, but for what I'm trying to achieve, it's totally useless.
Yeah.
And also, it's why Instagram, which is incredibly popular, also isn't much use to me because Instagram doesn't like serving links. Mm. Yeah. Mm. If you try and put a link on Instagram, it says it's got a term that it uses. This is branded content.
Yeah.
So you need to pay for it. I don't even, you know.
But people love Instagram.
Yeah, they do, and there's nothing wrong with it.
But it doesn't particularly work for radio.
No. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a restaurant, this is the whole point of what the ladies are saying. If you're a restaurant and you want to entice people to come to your restaurant to eat your prawns a la, you know, Grec or whatever, then show people a picture of your prawns a la Grec and tell them where your restaurant is, which is another thing that drives me nuts. but that's a strategy.
But there's not the engagement on Instagram, I don't find. There's any engagement. It's just, it kind of leaves me a bit dead. I'm on it because I have to be, but it's just hashtag.
It feels like
shouting.
It's a push medium.
Yeah.
Instagram's brilliant. It's a push medium, and it's why so many famous footballers and that are on there, because you can't easily interact with them.
See, I would oppose to that because I find it's a great place for community engagement.
Right. Do you?
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
It's brilliant. So
I get loads of likes and that, but I don't talk to people, whereas Twitter, I have huge conversations.
Yeah.
So I just find Instagram a bit shouty.
But Els, it's entirely right. You know, the whole point is it suits different people in different ways.
So you have conversations on Instagram?
Yeah, so really? Two things that come to mind are my cats. Everyone who knows me will know I love my cats.
Animals, yeah. I feel a Mrs. Slocum moment coming on here.
Well, let me just... I set up a Instagram for them, and the community around that was amazing. I created almost cat friends. God, I need to get a life.
But people love animal shots,
they do.
They?
So then I'll take it to a different side of a more businessy, but still a bit more adventure. I've just started paddle boarding.
Mm.
And the more I've looked into it on Instagram... the more of a community I see, I now know what type of paddleboard to buy, the equipment I should be looking for, because I'm speaking to a community of people.
Sure.
And I went on Facebook because I wanted to compare the how the community has interacted with one another. Mm. So I went on Facebook to do a similar thing, and I found it was so much harder.
Mm. Really?
There was a Kent paddleboarding group, but it wasn't saying the things I needed.
Mm.
So it is from different ways, and it depends on the type of business you are, which is why when people say, oh, talk about what time I should be posting, you should know that. You're the expert. Well, no, I need to know about your business and what you want to achieve, all the step-by-steps.
I think that's a massively important point, because that's one of the drawbacks for me with Facebook. Facebook is the biggest platform of social media, but it's getting worse by the minute, as far as I'm concerned, because it's not real time.
Oh, we have so many frustrations with Facebook.
Yeah, but it's not real time. You know, you put a post and somebody will see it a week later. Yeah, whereas Instagram and Twitter are real time. You know, people are seeing it and interacting with it as it's happening.
Mm.
If you're just trying to build brand, then Facebook's brilliant, because it doesn't matter when you see it. You know, as long as you go, you know, we're the King's Head in, you know,
Marsden,
you know, in Marsden Village or something, then you're still the King's Head in Marsden Village a week later. So that's not a problem. And if you go, you know, this is our menu, have a look, you know, this is our chicken in a basket, it's still relevant a week later. Yeah, it's not time dependent, but a lot of other content is time dependent.
Mm.
Yeah,
and for different businesses as well, you know, what they're trying to achieve depends on what platform they want to go on.
Yeah,
so like Elle said, you know, someone who is doing paddle boarding, Instagram is the perfect platform for them.
Exactly.
If they want to build a community around that and get Elle involved in their community, it's a hobby she's looking to get more involved with, so it's the perfect place to be for her.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't necessarily go on LinkedIn with that.
Yeah.
So a lot of businesses think, right, I've got to be on 5 platforms, I've got to be on this, this and this, I need to be on all these platforms. They don't need to be.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's understanding where you need to be.
Mm. Yeah. That's what we go through with people first on the training.
It's being smart, isn't it?
Yes.
What you're doing is building a smart digital marketing plan for people and a smart digital marketing strategy. Yeah. So many other people just come along with some content and throw it. Yeah, and just hope that some of it sticks, which is very old school. Yeah, it's back in the 20th century when social media didn't exist, and the only output you had
PR.
Yeah, well, the only
sending it out to every newspaper.
Yeah, the only output you had was a newspaper or a TV or a radio, which was just scattergun. Yeah, because you couldn't determine who was out there. You just put it on there and hope that out of the 2 million people that watch the TV, that 20 of them were in your marketplace and would see your advert. We've come a long way from there, but people are still approaching it in the same way, which is, you know, well, let's just shove it on every platform and see what happens.
Yet people expect so much more from it when don't want to dedicate so much time to it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hang on, I've been on social media for 2 weeks, I should have 200 leads.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah. Exactly. So I love what you're doing, and I love the fact that you're doing it from a thoughtful point of view and a smart point of view. That's really brilliant. And you're building it kind of bottom up to head towards this We Do Social Media Gym final offering once you get there, having built it one section at a time.
Yeah, I mean, Elle's doing the scripts, we're having videos made.
She's doing all the work.
Yeah.
You're your management, aren't you?
I've got it. You know, doing the scripts, and obviously we've got Proud Business Productions involved to help us with the videos.
Yeah. For him, I texted him saying, so we need 70 videos by October. And he was like, wait.
What? So what is he doing? Is he videoing your clients? Or
So actually, he did a great testimonial video for us as part of his services. But what he will be doing is videoing each of the individual videos. That will be part of the training course. So then they can go up professionally and people can hear and read what I'm saying. And then the other things he's doing is the weekly content I'm going to be providing. He'll be filming a weekly video. Mm-hmm. So people can have on-the-go training rather than just modular. And he'll also be doing our promos. So he'll pretty much get continuous.
So are you going to be putting that on YouTube, those videos? Or?
So the weekly 10-minute videos will go out at a later date. So our members will get that first come, first serve. And they'll go out like 2 months later down the line, depending on the relevance. The other videos for the modular training will only be exclusive to members.
Lovely.
We want the exclusivity there, not so we get more members, but so the members feel like they're getting something for their buck. Yeah, it's all about the members, and that's exactly why we send out the surveys. The reason we sent yesterday, and we're constantly trying to improve for them.
Yeah, sure. We just had a tweet from T-Pole Products, who are based in Bromley. They make detergents and soaps and all kinds of things. And they're just saying... How fantastic it is to hear on the Business Bunker about being obsessed with the community.
Good.
Yeah, so that's lovely.
Thank you.
No, and you're absolutely right. It's about building those communities. And, of course, people, you know, it's not all sweetness and light, is it? Because people are people and, you know, sometimes they don't always understand what you're trying to do. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people, having been told how to do something, oh, I can't be bothered to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to carry on doing what I was doing because it's easier, you know, because we don't like change, do we? And we don't like being told what to do, especially if we don't really understand it. And also, of course, with technology. And one, funnily enough, talking about the Federation of Small Business earlier, about 18 months ago, the Federation of Small Business did a survey and came back with the most staggering statistic. I checked this three times because I couldn't believe this statistic, but they found that 76% of small businesses had no digital presence.
Wow. Actually, I had heard that somewhere, yeah.
No, that's amazing. What they mean by that is, I think, you know, the owner of the business has got a Facebook page or whatever, or maybe a Twitter handle or an Instagram page, but the business itself, you know, like, so Harry's Plumbing, yeah, or Deirdre's Electrical Services or whatever, doesn't have a digital presence. Now, Deirdre might have a Facebook page and Harry might have an Instagram account, but that's not the same as having a business digital presence. And 76% of small and micro businesses have no digital presence.
Do you know, that's, I went through a magazine, like a just local business magazine, and it was just for businesses to advertise in. And I went through there and I thought strategy when some years ago now, I went through and I thought, I'll ring them and say, do they want us to, you know, give them their social media presence? And 90% of them were like, no, we're advertising this magazine, we don't want a social media presence. And they just didn't want it. But speaking to people that I use the services of, like my hairdresser, I speak to her a lot, my beautician, they basically say to me, they're in their 30s, and they say they wouldn't even use a company that wasn't on social media. They wouldn't entertain it because they go on there and check them out. If they're not on there, they wouldn't even use them.
Exactly. I'm the same. You know, it's like with websites or anything. I still find companies that don't have websites. And I go, I'm not using you. You've got no website. You know, I can't find you anywhere on social media.
You don't know
media.
If they exist, do you?
Who are you? You just, even if you're a legitimate business, I'm not going to use you because you just don't understand the modern world, I'm afraid. Sorry. And people come up with silly excuses. They go, oh, yeah, well, Twitter's a cesspit. Yes, it probably is. But then, so, you know, you're advertising in the Sun, or, you know, the Daily Mail, and, you know, they're just as bad. It's because it's just people, you know, it's people is people.
But I've always had really positive experiences on Twitter, and, you know, I said to you...
Yeah, normally, because she starts a rant, I get involved, and then she clears off, and I end up stood in the middle all on my own with everybody shouting at me, going, oh, you know, car parking in Canterbury, shut up.
But he likes, I think you do like an argument. And, but I had someone that called me a liar yesterday about an Israeli story that I put out, which wasn't, it was a CNBC story. And this other guy who I don't follow jumped in and said, Jules is a lovely lady on Twitter and helps people. And I just thought that was really nice. And I've never really had a bad experience. I've had a couple of trolls, but, you know.
The problem is that quite often with something like Twitter, which is a rolling news feed, people stick their oar in halfway through a conversation without fully understanding what the starting point of the conversation is, and you can get dragged away. But that's arguing. That's not brand building or anything. And that's why, if I'm really honest with my business accounts, I quite often bite my tongue and I go, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just not going to comment on that because whilst I think you're completely wrong and a total idiot, it would not do my brand any good to get into that kind
of
argument.
I've had to tell Mum to bite her tongue a few times. She'll read it out and I'll be like, no, don't do that.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Mm. Because you want to say something, but then you think, well, that's not the right thing for my brand here. Mm. And I've got to remember why I'm doing this.
Especially with Meghan and Harry. I mean, you could really get involved, couldn't you? And I've just backed right off from that, you know.
Even my personal Twitter account now, I've followed people that I want to hear.
Yeah.
But I don't comment. I don't put the things I would like to put because obviously I'm linked, you know, to We Do Social
Associations,
media.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
And people could take opinions completely the wrong way. Definitely when it's not said face to face. And don't get me, I'm an advocate of social media, but nothing beats what we're doing today and seeing each other. Yeah. You can see our body language and our tone.
Mm. And that brings me on to a very salient point that you see quite often now, where big corporations fall for this, where, you know, there's been this thing just recently with the launch of GB News, which is a new TV channel, and a lot of politically motivated people, even before it launched, decided they didn't like it.
I know.
So they started a whole pylon about GB News, and they attacked a load of corporates that advertised on it. And the problem is, a lot of those corporates went, oh, sorry, we won't have
pulled out.
It was IKEA, wasn't it?
You can't do that because that's a daft thing to do. And what companies on social media need to understand is not to get involved in politics. And the thing is not to be driven by either side. You know, if somebody comes at you and goes, oh, you've advertised in somewhere I don't like, you go, I'm really sorry, you don't like that. I just stop there. I'm really sorry you don't like that. Fine, you know. But you know, if you start going, oh, well, we'll never advertise again, all you get is the other lot go, right, well, we're never buying your products because you won't advertise somewhere we want to, you know. So what you need to learn is it's a no-win situation, so don't get involved in it. Just back out. I saw someone, I think it was the Co-op, a while back, got involved in a spat, and their social media manager, obviously not thinking about it, was really rude to somewhere where they
reminds
were
reminds me of somebody we know on CCC who's always very aggressive, isn't he? When we they're on CCC on Canterbury City Council.
Exactly.
He was very aggressive.
You know, there are certain people that run social media accounts that don't represent the organisation that they're in, even if they work for them. You know. And they put their own personal political spin on these things, and you get and the Co-op got very angry about it and said, listen, whoever put that was one of our social media people, and it was their personal opinion and not the opinion of our organisation. So again, you've got to be careful about what you're saying here, and remember that you're representing a brand, you're representing an organisation, and there's a strategy, and that's what you guys are telling us, is think about the strategy, think about what you're trying to achieve. If you want to get involved in a political bum fight, then start your own bloody thing that's not associated with your business or you personally or what it is you're doing.
Actually, we've just had all of our T's and C's done, and by Babette Powell, and some of the things in there. And I'm just thinking, you saying about staff saying things like that, maybe we need to add a few things to the contract.
There's so much to think about, isn't there?
We were quite shocked with Canterbury City Council, because Paul and I were talking about parking, as you said earlier, and this guy was very aggressive and sarcastic. Sarcasm was coming through. And he's, you know, working for the council, so that's not the right tone.
It was hilarious, because basically, very quickly, we were moaning about parking and the fact that they'd shut the parking and put the parking prices up. And somebody came along and said, well, you can park in Castle Street multi-story car park. The only problem was it was closed, so you couldn't park in it. And when I pointed that out, this social media person went, you know perfectly well why it's closed. I don't. I haven't got a clue why it's closed. Why have you closed it? And it turned out they closed it because they didn't need it, because COVID meant that no one was visiting Canterbury. Except the trouble was that people weren't visiting Canterbury because there was nowhere to park.
and it costs like £7-8.
It's so expensive.
But the overall point was they could have had a very fair argument. But Jules is absolutely right. The social media account person was incredibly rude and very sarcastic, and they didn't need to be. And I know it's difficult, you know, when you're under pressure, but basically don't get into an argument when you don't know what you're talking about, for a start.
That's why it's great to outsource, because we would know not to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can think of it from a really, like, outside perspective. The amount of sarcasm I've had to stop myself from doing.
Bite your lip. So give us a top tip for someone. You know, you're working with startups, presumably, as well. Give us a top tip for someone starting up.
I think it's going back to the whole strategy sort of thing. People, this is a very basic tip that people still don't take advice on, is, right, you're starting out. Where is your target market? What is it you're looking to achieve? And find the right platform for you. We've got blogs on our website that have links to different analytics, so you can see where your target market is. Don't sign up on all of them and bodge it all. You know, be a master of one, not a jack of all. Like with you guys with Twitter, you're mastering Twitter, you've mastered Twitter, and you're staying away from Facebook.
It's fantastic talking to you guys,
and
there's quite a few people on Twitter now kind of joining in the conversation. I had Intune PR talking about online presence, and they raised a really important point. I wonder what percentage of people that have a presence but haven't maintained it. So again, you know, I saw this the other day. You know, somebody said something to me and I thought, oh, I'm going to find out about you. And I looked them up on Twitter and they had a Twitter account and they haven't tweeted for 2 years. And you think, well, you know,
I hate that.
Yeah, what's the point then? You know, if you know, you've probably forgotten the password or something. And I know, see, it's one of the problems with technical platforms. There's no way of deleting, and no easy way of deleting it, because what happens is people forget their password and stuff, and then they can't go in and delete it. So you've got this old thing hanging around under your name with no activity.
I actually had a chat about that with my family, because I said, you know, if I die, I've got hundreds of accounts.
Feeling peaky.
Yeah, after my AstraZeneca. So here is a book with all my different various passwords, and, you know, it's even your emails and everything, you know, your Hotmail, your Gmail.
We have that with each other. So we both have our passwords on the LastPass together.
Very good.
So if something happened to one another, we share the same.
You can just
It's a very valid point. I saw this the other day. Someone that I followed on Facebook, as it happened, it came up in the birthdays. You know, today's so-and-so's birthday, and loads of people wishing him happy birthday.
He died
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and the trouble is, people were contacting Facebook and saying he died, and they go, well, you know.
So they memorialise pages now.
Yes, they do.
And you've got to send a copy of the death certificate.
Yeah.
But if that were me with a loved one, I'd rather just shut it down as a personal opinion.
But a lot of people don't know how to do that.
You can't if you don't have a password.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, they won't talk to you if you're not the
person. But as long as you've got the email, you can... you can do it, can't you? As long as you've got the email. Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, you know, the problem is dealing with any big organisation is they don't want to know. They go, you know, well, who are you? Well, no, well, it's not my account. It, you know, it was my brother and he suddenly passed. Mm. Well, no, well, we can't do anything about it. You know, that's the trouble with a lot of these things.
As long as you've got access to their email, which you might not have.
Yeah, but again, you know, there are ways, as you said, you know, there are ways of doing it, but a lot of us haven't thought of this because it's, you know, all fairly new. But anyway,
it's important to have anyway. Yeah.
But I think the overall message from We Do Social Media is that it's not about how you're posting or the technology you're posting. It's about your strategy. It's about thinking about what it is you're trying to achieve, what platform's best for you to achieve that, and then what kind of content will help you achieve that. And that's what I love about what you folks are doing. And you're doing that in an environment with social media workouts and then eventually with social media gym that's helping people to come to terms with that and do that.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Listen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you as always, ladies.
Thank you.
Give us a quick shout out for where people can find out all about We Do Social Media.
So rather than giving you all the different social media platforms in the world, you can just find them all on our website, which is www.wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Fantastic. And there are links to that on the Business Bunker website as well. You can click on their logo and it will take you straight to their website. Ladies, thank you for that. Thank you for joining us.
Paul.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We've got a few minutes remaining of the show. And we've got some stuff to cover. You've got one email you said you wanted to read.
A very long one, and it hasn't been. Another thing, if you're ever sending in emails for radio, they are different to an email that you would send to, you know, a paper.
Absolutely.
But I'll try and skim through it. So it's Maidstone Borough Council, the proud heritage sponsor of two Elmer sculptures as part of Elmer Big Heart of Kent Parade. What is Elmer?
Elmer's a patchwork elephant. It's a kids' program.
Because I was thinking of Elmo, you know, that big chickeny thing that was on. Do you remember
Elmo? Yeah.
What was he? Was he a chicken?
No, it was a big bird. It wasn't. It was Sesame Street.
I see. My kids grew up on Sesame Street.
I thought you were going to say emo, the goth emo. But there you go.
Who? Oh, the goth. My kids grew up on Sesame Street. I used to love it as well. So they're saying it's launching and it's using David McKee's popular children's character. Oh, it's telling me what it is now.
Yeah, you should have read it.
Elmer the Patchwork Elephant, if only I'd known. The parade is Maidstone's first ever public art trail. See what I said there? Art.
Art.
As opposed to anything else. The beautifully decorated, colourful elephants are all magically appearing around the town and they form a trail of 51 in overall, with three walks totalling around 6 miles, all waiting for visitors to discover. Elmer's Big Heart of Kent Parade officially launched today. That was Tuesday, the 22nd of June. And it'll be in place until Sunday, the 22nd of August, bringing colour and joy to the county town. It's an exciting trail for visitors of all ages to enjoy. And the first of the council's two elephants is called Elmer's Maidstone and can be found near the town hall in Jubilee Square. What we're going to ask Bunker listeners to do, Paul Andrews, is to, if they see these Elmer elephants, to send us in a picture and use the hashtag BeBunker. We'd love to see that.
Yeah.
So the second mummy phant is located on the balcony area in Fremlin Walk, overlooking Maidstone Museum. And it depicts a bright illustrated map of the town. And mummy phant pays tribute to the famous Takush mummy in the museum. This is like another language to me. I've never even been to Maidstone. I must go. So it's playing host, Maidstone Museum, to a herd of six small Elmers, so baby Elmers, which have all been designed by local school children. They'll be displayed in the reception area and the art gallery until the end of the trail and are free to visit. So all Elmers will finally be on show until the 22nd of August, when all will be rounded up, herded up, I'd say, for a farewell weekend where they can all be seen at Lock Meadow. This runs from Friday the 3rd of September to Sunday the 5th of September. And each elephant sculpture will then be auctioned on Thursday, the 9th of September, to further support the charity. So you could have one in your garden.
Absolutely.
That would get rid of your rats and your squirrels. Now, to find out more, we're going to put details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and you can also go to Elmer, E-L-M-E-R, maidstone.co.uk and have a look there as well.
Fantastic. There's a social media special for artists and creatives. It's an online event, and there's experts and attendees share their knowledge and experience through short talks and group discussions. The social media platforms are great spaces to showcase and promote your creative work. During the event, creatives and professionals will share their strategies, tips and experiences to help you with your social media communication if you're a creative or an artist. Listen to them. We'll provide you with ideas for your own practice. This is taking place on Friday the 9th of July, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's an online event, and the speakers are Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, Rob McIntosh, who's an artist and tells about his use of his Instagram account, which is Dalton Barn. And there's Alexandra Campbell of the Midsize Garden YouTube channel, How to Create a Successful YouTube Channel. And there's also Stella Chapman and Victoria Johnson from Salt Design, who will cover the branding side of social media. So that's happening on Friday the 9th of July. It's an online webinar, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. You can book and pay for your ticket and register by going to kentcreative.org. kentcreative.org. You've read all of yours, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and I've got a coughing fit. So.
Have you? There's a Women in Construction networking lunch chaired by Cheryl Corsbrook, and she's in conversation with Caroline Gumbel, who's the CEO of the CIOB, and that's the Chartered Institute of Building, by the way, and an entrepreneur and successful businesswoman, Sue Nelson, who we've just found out is to take over as chair of Produced in Kent. Here, two really successful women share their stories. This is taking place on the 21st of October, so there's lots of time to book, and it's a great way to meet, share and network. You can book your place by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk/women-in-construction-networking-lunch. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk/women-in-construction-networking-lunch. You can find out all about that by going there. I think that's it. I think we've reached the end of another show. I see that Jules has done a runner because she's had a coughing fit. Mm-hmm. So she's gone to cough up in the hallway there, which is a shame, but never mind. I'm just checking to make sure I haven't missed anything that needs to be talked about before we go off air. But I think I've covered everything that we need. So I just want to say a huge thank you to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jules Serkin, to our fantastic guests, Socrates Raffato, the Viennese plasterer, and the lovely Linda and Elle Cloak of We Do Social Media. Oh, she's back. I'd invite you to join me in the Business Bunker Extra Show this Thursday at 1 o'clock, where we talk for 30 minutes with someone interesting. And this week I'm talking to James Brown and Deborah Callaway of the Department of Work and Pensions. And we're talking about the government's Kickstarter scheme, which is a scheme where you can employ someone on work experience, a 16 to 24-year-old, where you get a 1,500 quid grant, plus they pay all the wages for 6 months.
Fabulous.
Plus the government also pay your national insurance and pension, so everything's paid for, and you get a grant of 1,500 quid to employ someone for 6 months on a 16 to 24-year-old Kickstarter program. So find out all about that on Thursday at 1 o'clock here on bizradio.co.uk, when we will be talking to the Department of Work and Pensions. But that's it for another week. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.